Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
You're working hard to put food on your family.
Then you wake up at the high school level and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
Well, I obviously have made a decision to make sure the economy doesn't collapse. I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system. And I'm so sorry we're having to do it. I'm not real happy about the fact that there have been excesses in the financial markets which are affecting hardworking people and affecting their retirement accounts. Having said that, I'm very confident that with time, the economy will come out and grow and people's wealth will return.
Blue Monday.
Oh, God, here we are again. Everyone's off and I'm on. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It is a little bit after 3 on the West Coast, a little bit after 6 on the East Coast. And I have a sneaking suspicion everybody in the media who's off is desperate to be on. I mean, they're trying to have a good time. You know, they're in the, oh, yeah, it's Christmas week with the family and the kids and the fire. And they're dying to be back with the pancake makeup. The Klieg lights thinking that they're important and they're going to beat the human condition, that somehow they, amongst all people, they're not going to die. They're going to live, at least to 110 with advances. They're going to feel no pain at the end because they were on Fixed News or CNN. And they alone will feel no pain at the end, and the world will love them right to the very end. They'll make no mistake on the radio or television, and they'll just quietly drift off and shuffle off the mortal coil. Most likely, no. The way things go is they're going to go the way the rest of the world goes, in horror and pain, suffering through the most horrendous end, pushed in front of a curtain in a nursing home, in a wheelchair, being left alone to be beaten about the head and neck by an orderly, who take the few pennies given to them by their children, probably in their late 60s, no less. This is the Savage Nation, and I'm doing this to attract your attention. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I really want to start it. I did start tonight on the show with George Bush's seminal moments. Maybe we'll be through finally with the serial bumbler. Finally, a serial bumbler is ending, but something new is beginning for talk radio. And that is the most astonishing thing. Kennedy was inaugurated, and he used, of course, the great poet Robert Frost, who read from his The Gift outright for John F. Kennedy in 1961. We learned today that Obama, Barack Hussein Obama's poet, is an unknown neighbor named Elizabeth Alexander, who basically is unknown outside of very small circles of illiterates. And it's astonishing that she wrote a poem called Neonatology that goes like this: is funky, is leaky, is a soggy, bloody crotch, is sharp jets of breast milk shot straight across the room, is gaudy mustard-colored poop, is postpartum tears that soak the baby's lovely head. And I had to wonder how we've gone in this nation from mending wall to mustard-colored poop in just one generation. And that's why I say get ready for a couple of good years, because we've got it coming. I mean, we thought it was bad enough with Bill Clinton picking the ex-prostitute Maya Angelou as the poet laureate, but now we got Obama picking this minor academic Elizabeth Alexander, who writes about mustard-colored poop. Astounding. By the way, has anyone noticed that Al Gore disappears during especially cold weather? He's nowhere to be seen. That's, of course, pretty obvious why he's nowhere to be seen. Al Gore has become the groundhog of American politics. When it gets cold, he goes underground. Play Blue Monday again. I'm ready to start the show again on the Savage Nation.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day.
It's Fats Domino with Blue Monday, my normal opening on the Savage Nation. It'll be 15 years this March. Eat your heart out. They said that I couldn't make it, that my voice was too New York. Too New York. Well, apparently America likes my voice. Apparently they're not as racist as those from New York who said I was too New York. So everyone's out of town. My family's out of town. I'm basically like Scrooge McSavage. Spent a long, quiet weekend alone with the dog. I went to a hobby shop, antique stores. You know, like bad, you know, antique stores, junk, basically. Because my dad had an antique store. I like to occasionally go around dusty old antique stores. And you wonder, you scratch your head at the refuse of past generations. You know, everything, heirlooms. You know, you start to think about the word heirlooms. Like, what am I going to leave my kids that they're going to really hold on to, you know? I mean, I have some nice stuff to hold on to, but by and large, what's an heirloom? You know, you don't know, grandmother left you something, and you go to Antique Roadshow, and you find it's worth $175. Ooh, wow, one ticket. One ticket to a movie. After George Bush and Paulson get through with us, that's about what a movie will cost. You'll need a wheelbarrow to go to the movies. You hear this? Billions of dollars given to the banks to tell us we don't have any they have no idea where the money went. So I went to the antique stores. I looked at a painting, a Civil War painting. You know, you always hope you're going to find something that, you know, that's a bargain. I saw a beautiful, big Civil War painting. Now, I'm not an art expert, but I grew up in the business. Like, I know good art from bad art. So the guy said, it says $10,000 on it. It's in the back of a store. I went to look the artist's name up. I couldn't find it anywhere on the art net. Why am I going to buy it? Then I saw look at this clock. I was attracted to another piece of junk. Black Forest Cuckoo Clock. The guy wants $1,200 for it. So I looked at it because it's nicely carved out of elderwood. Lindenwood, you know, like a fox and wolves. It doesn't work, but you figure it's so well carved. Yeah, what do I need it for? The beautiful thing here is that if you give it a day, you don't really want to buy anything you thought you wanted a day before. You don't need anything. Then I went to the hobby shop. I looked at models. I almost bought an expensive model till the jerk said to me, Robin Williams bought one of these. And there's a million things I wanted to say, such as that kills the sale, Johnson, or what would a stupid comedian know about anything. I didn't say anything. At a certain point in your life, you don't say anything. You learn to shut your mouth and keep it to yourself. Instead, I bought two Schleich soldiers. They were cheap. They're made of, like, rubber or plastic. Germany, made in China. You hear this? Gunnings, $5.99, Schleich. I thought GmbH, they're like soldiers, like medieval soldiers. So you think finally you're getting something European? I thought they were made of metal. They're not. They're like some kind of rubberized stuff that they must have taken out of baby milk that was condemned on the way over to America. Some chemical they removed from dog food, they made into a soldier. But even the Schleich little soldiers from Germany are made in China now. I don't know why that should matter. I don't particularly suck on these toys. Everything I pick up has a warning on it. Warning, choking hazard, small parts, not for children under 3 years of age. My friends, I don't suck on toys like this. You know, I don't live in that part of San Francisco where that might happen. Why do they put warnings on everything? Have you tried to open plastic packages lately? Have you seen what goes on? You know that I hear that a good percentage of emergency room visits consist of people who cut themselves trying to open those plastic wrappings around food things. I know you want me to talk about politics. Eventually I will. I'm not ready for it, if you don't mind. I'm not ready. When I'm ready, I will. When you're ready, I will. Right now, I'm not. Oh, you want me to do politics? I'll do one. Fred Thompson and Rudy Giuliani, we're taking bets around the network of how long either will last in talk radio. One person said 3 months. The other person said 6 months top. How could these people make it in talk radio when they couldn't make it in politics? I ask you, what in the world would Fred Thompson or Rudy Giuliani have to say that you'd want to listen to that you haven't heard 50,000 times before? Well, my good friends on the other side of the aisle, you want to hear more of that rubbish that they espoused while they were in Congress? Or while the man who, I told you, I told you Giuliani didn't play west of the Hudson when he started, and I was right. I'm right about everything in politics. I'm almost never wrong. I've almost never been wrong. Never. My prediction is Thompson and Giuliani don't last 6 months. I knew the comedian would be a flop. He's gone. I knew the bartender would be gone. He'll be gone soon. You know, the tavern, the guy with the, that should be in an apron instead of in front of a microphone. Try to rip. See, I don't want to go into it. I'm not going to give away my secrets. I'm good because I'm good. You can't copy me. And it's the beginning of a whole new thing here. You know, I mean, there's a whole new cycle. Oil. Wow, $39 a barrel. Oil's dropped $100 in a year. And I know people, by the way, who last week were ready to get into oil. I warned them, don't. They said, oh, my God, you know, the treasury bills are paying zero. The bank accounts are paying zero. Oil's, you know, way down. Let's way down. Let's get into oil. I said, don't be stupid. You don't control it. People are going to take the last bit of money out of you if you jump into oil. And it went down again. Speaking about controlling markets, I keep asking the same question. We know about the Madoff scandal. We understand the billions of dollars are not really gone. I mean, I have a lot to say about the Madoff scandal, and I talked about it last week. I'm going to talk about it again today. It's an important story. It's a part of American history, by the way, the Ponzi scheme. And I'm suspicious of his son's divorce from the daughter-in-law. If I were the SEC, first of all, the SEC should be in prison. I'd start with Chris Cox, orange jumpsuit, and I'd put him in there until he exposed why he didn't stop Madoff while he was doing it. Chris Cox, the top management of the SEC, to me, all criminal behavior. That's number one. Number two is the Madoff guy. Oh, his sons turned him in? That's like the reverse of the Abraham and Isaac story. Abraham was going to slay Isaac. Then God says at the last minute, don't do it. I was just testing you. Of course, that created a schizophrenia in Isaac, but you're not supposed to mention what it did to Isaac and unto the next 20,000 generations. I mean, what would you do if your father put you over a rock, picked up an X-Acto knife and put it to your jugular vein and said, sorry, son, I have to do it because God told me to do it. And you say, Dad, what are you, crazy man? Are you off your meds? Why are you doing this, man? I didn't do anything. Your father says, sorry, I don't really want to cut your throat, but God told me to do it. No, Dad, don't do it. And then all of a sudden, your father looks crazy, and he turns white-faced, and he says, now I don't have to do it. And he takes the knife off your neck. That's not going to traumatize you. Think about it. And that might be the ultimate reason Madoff did it. He had been traumatized several thousand generations ago through the Abraham and Isaac story, and consequently, he should be given great latitude for what he did. He didn't mean to do it. But there's a deep psychological problem that he developed from the Abraham-Isaac story. And consequently, although it's deeply psychological, he wasn't responsible because he didn't rob the old ladies in the charities that he allegedly robbed. What he was trying to do was get even with his father, try to cut his throat, even though Abraham wasn't his exact father. There's a relationship that goes back and spans the many generations going back to the biblical time. And therefore, Mr. Madoff should be found not guilty by reason of of foxiness. I'll be right back. Savage. Al Gore disappears during cold weather. He's become the groundhog of American politics. A fraud, Al Gorleone, the head of the Gorleone crime syndicate, in my opinion. What a scam. You know, Obama, let's say he's a left-winger, which he is. He's the most left-wing senator in American history. Let's not forget that. I know that the media wants already washed that away. They throw the word right-wing around left and right like there's only a right-wing. Well, if there's a right-wing, wouldn't there have to be a left-wing? Even Michael Chertoff, most of you don't know who he is, he's the highly competent head of the Department of Homeland Security, used the word right-wing today. Listen to clip one.
We're also looking at the possibility of a lone wolf, and that doesn't have to necessarily be a terrorist from Al-Qaeda. It can be a right-wing, you know, crazy nut who decides that they, because of racism or some other reason, they want to carry out an attack.
Now, here's the myth. The myth was George Bush was a conservative right-winger, when all along I've been saying he's a liberal left-winger. They are. They're all left-wingers. The whole administration's a group of left-wing phonies. They just robbed the country blind. Hank Paulson, in my opinion, has pulled off the biggest crime in the history of the world, and he's still doing it. He gives his friends in the banking business, Goldman Sachs, billions of dollars, and they say, go to hell if you ask them where the money is. How do they get away with it? Answer, they are the government. So we're supposed to worry now about a right-wing nut. What would you call a guy in the Treasury Department who stole the Treasury? Would you define them as a right-wing nut or a left-wing nut? How about plain old thief? Does that work for you? But anyway, since we all know that there's right-wingers, well, that would mean there have to be left-wingers. So let's not forget that Obama's a left-winger, okay? However, he hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't really ruled on anything. He picked a cabinet that fundamentally is diverse in appearance, diverse in physical being, you know. And we don't know what they're going to do. But the fact is, in that cabinet, they have an idiot who's going to run the global warming projects. When we know from every scientist with a brain who really understands this, that there is no man-made global warming. Now, we're all against pollution. We all want a cleaner environment. But you don't get a cleaner environment by lying about the causes of a slight uptick in global temperatures over the last century. You understand this or not? Yet we're going to hear nothing day in and day out. All we're going to hear is global warming, global warming, global warming. The children are brainwashed because of Al Corleone, you know. 1-800-449-8255. Do not call me about this topic or any other topic, actually. Don't call me at all. In fact, don't call me. There's no room to get onto the show at all. Go to michaelsavage.com. You'll see these headlines. Muslim men found guilty in plot to kill soldiers. Now, I recognize you can't put the word Muslim in front of it if you work for any of the alphabet channels or the midstream media, the useless media. You're not allowed to say Muslim. But it seems quite coincidental that all of them are Muslim. Now, I realize they could have had blonde hair and blue eyes and been Christian, but they don't have blonde hair and blue eyes, and they're not Christian. I realize they would like to have made them all into Timothy McVeigh having blonde hair and blue eyes, but they don't have blonde hair and blue eyes. In fact, they're all Muslims, and they all plotted to kill soldiers at Fort Dix. But you have to ask yourself if a country can survive if they're in such denial as to who their enemy is. Make no mistake about it. Not all Muslims are terrorists, and I've said that numerous times. But make no mistake about the fact that almost 99% of all terrorism is conducted by Muslims on the planet today. That's a hard fact to digest, but it's a real one. Who said it first? A Muslim with guts. Is the Savage Nation, 15 years in talk radio, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. They said I wouldn't survive a month. Every impediment was put in my way, and here I am. Why? Because, as Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it, and everyone knows what that is, and you can't define it. It's as simple as that. And in a world of PR, in a world of focus groups, you don't even have to agree with me to want to listen to me. At least you get someone who says what he means, and you can decide for yourself what you believe. That's all. Anyway, so it's like a dead week. Everyone in the media is off. Everyone's got a fill-in. You look around on the TV screens. And it's fun being alone, home alone. Like, everyone in my family, like, went somewhere that I didn't want to go to. Hanging around, you know. So I've been doing things I haven't done in a long time. Going to a hobby shop, as I said, antique stores. But I did something interesting. I went back to a town I had lived in when the children were very young and I was struggling. And I walked down the street and I looked in some of the very same stores that had been there for 20 years. One in particular was a video parlor that I used to grab my son out of. It's still there. I can't believe it. I mean, with the advent of the internet, you'd think kids wouldn't go to it. There were still kids in there. It was 8 o'clock at night and there were kids still in a video parlor. We used to hunt them down and grab them and say, get out of there. You'll never amount to anything. Get out of that store. But you have to stay on top of your kid. I mean, you do. You have to do it. And then I looked at restaurants I used to sadly eat in when we had very little money. Horrible meals, disgusting. Still there, these bad Chinese restaurants. Still serving swill, you know, people still eating there. $4.99 lunches, $3.99 lunches. And I started to think back on all these years of from then till now and where I've come, where the children, you know, that kind of thing. I went through this whole cycle. Went into a bar I hadn't been in 20 years. Like an English pub where they throw darts, nothing's changed. I had a quiet beer with myself. It's mainly older people sitting around like in England, which I like, thank God. Except for the screens, I could do without the sports. It hurts my eyes. I mean, why do they need a flat screen? If I wanted to watch television, I would have stayed home. You go there for the mood of having a drink and maybe just watching people throw darts. Anyway, the dartboards were gone and there was a flat screen. And it was too overly bright, you know. Anyway, that was that. You start thinking about the whole cycle and what it really means and what you do with yourself. Oh, well, just musing with you on the Savage Nation. From a mending wall to mustard-colored poop in one generation. How about Zimbabwe? It's gotten so bad there under Mugabe the murderer that wardens are stealing from prisoners to stay alive. Now, that's an important story for those of you who hate white people. Let me explain it. Zimbabwe was once known as Rhodesia when it was run by white people who had basically stolen the land from black people. However, while the white people who stole the land from black people ran Rhodesia, it was a net food exporting nation. No one starved. It was one of the most prosperous nations in Africa. Everybody ate. In fact, they produced so much food, they were exporting it, as I said. Then you had this scream for localization. So Mugabe comes along. He throws the whites off the farms. He gives the farms to black people who cannot farm on that scale. And now we have a country where people are starving to death, and nobody will say the obvious. It's a very important story that although people want justice, and although people want colonialism to end, they often don't look at the results of their idealism. You understand what I just said to you? The same exact thing happened in China under Mao Zedong, which really ought to be sent to some of the zealots who put Obama in power. Mao Zedong's revolution produced a disaster for China. Mao Zedong resulted in the deaths of 60 million Chinese under his extremist communist revolution. His form of communism was Maoism, by the way, which is a variety of communism. You have to study them all in order to understand that it's not one monolithic type of communism any more than Bush is not a capitalist, per se. I called Bush a fiscal socialist a year ago. I saw what he was doing. And it's another topic for another day. I don't want to get too heavy right now. What I'm saying to you is watch out where you're going with things, okay? And that's why I spent a little time this weekend in antique stores and hobby shops. One of the reasons I've always liked museums and antique stores is because I wonder about the people who preserved these objects over the centuries, if they're that old. I think about, for example, let's say French furniture, 17th, 18th century furniture from Europe. You say, think about these pieces of furniture. They've survived fires, wars, insurrections, you name it. And they've been preserved somehow. And then they're passed down. And they're like, I have an antique bed in one of my bedrooms that I have somewhere. It's from 1840, 1830-ish. Not particularly rare, but it's a nice piece of work with a little commode. And from Belgium. And I look at it sometimes. I lie in that bed and I wonder what went on in that bed over the century, you know, over this time period. So that's 180 years, close, 110, 170, whatever. So what went on in here? Okay, the obvious, the lovemaking. What about the births? What about the deaths in that bed? You know, you start thinking about that. Say, well, why are you talking about it? What do I know why I'm talking about it? Why shouldn't I? What, do you want me to sit like a yold and talk about the weather? Every schmuck on television at the same moment now? All the cable networks, it's frightening. They run the same story at the same moment. And now they go to the airplane on the runway the same second. It doesn't matter, CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. It makes no difference. They're breaking to the same story. Then what really got to me was this Kaylee thing over the last few days. And it started to get me really angry. So I went to the antique store and I went to the hobby shop. And it finally dawned on me why they're running the Kaylee Anthony story. It was interesting. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to see a little girl who was kidnapped and murdered. But that's not a big enough story to warrant the attention of the media. Why is that a major league story? Why are they not covering the multiple deaths in other countries? Why did they sweep the Muslim massacre in Bombay off the map so quickly with the Kaylee Anthony story? Answer, because liberalism is a mental disorder, and the people in the media are largely liberal who are mentally disordered. That is why they'll try to focus you on one death of one child in Florida instead of hundreds of deaths and thousands of injuries forever caused by fanatic, insane, radical Islamic madmen. Do you understand why we're in trouble? The media did it to you. You get it? Do you understand why we're in trouble? The media has brainwashed the entire nation, including the entire political class, into a form of hypnosis. They don't even know what's going on around them. So you get a schmuck like Michael Chertoff coming out today and saying the stupid thing that he's worried about a right-wing nut threatening the inauguration. Why couldn't it be a left-wing nut, Michael? After all, if there's a right-wing nut, there could be a left-wing nut, couldn't there? Why would you say a right-wing nut? Why couldn't it be a left-wing nut who's not happy with Obama because he didn't go far enough to the left? I understand the gays are really angry at Obama because he picked this guy Warren to give the inauguration instead of some phony priest or phony pastor who doesn't believe in the Bible nor any of its tenet belief system. God almighty, Obama had the nerve to pick somebody who actually believes what he preaches. That can't be allowed in the gay community. And then the women are crazy. Oh, women you haven't heard of for years. From the National Organization of Women, a completely useless organization that has done virtually nothing for years, that exists solely for itself. Suddenly they're back in the news complaining that he didn't pick enough women. Well, I wouldn't care if it was all women, if they were competent. I say pick the best possible people. I don't care if they're all black or all Asian. If they're the most competent in their field, pick them. And I've said the same thing about the admissions to the University of California at Berkeley, my alma mater, where I got my PhD many years ago. Quite many years ago. Wow. 25 years ago. Time does fly. See, I earned a real doctorate. I earned real master's degrees from great universities. So the fact of the matter is, I believe in quality. And I wrote many years ago that without quality, there can be no equality. Oh, you can have a physical representation of equality, but you'll wind up with Zimbabwe if that's all you use as your standards. If you're going to only use color or sexuality or any of these other stupid parameters to pick people to run important departments in the U.S. government, you're going to wind up like in Zimbabwe. You'll wind up eating wood if this keeps up. If you don't pick a competent agriculture director, for example, who really understands farms and the pressures on farmers, you can wind up with a reduced crop or a catastrophic situation in the farmland. Likewise, in any other sphere. Why in the world should you have to pick a woman or a gay or a black or a Hispanic or an Asian? Why not pick the best and the brightest instead of just simply making it look good? Is what I say. But go tell that to the radical far-left gays, the radical far-left women who are unhappy with Obama because he didn't pick enough of their particular quota. You understand that? Now you understand why I spent time in hobby shops and antique stores. You understand that as well? And now I'll take your calls because I've warmed myself up sufficiently to begin the show. It's taken me quite a while to get up to speed. Boy, weekends are hard, particularly when you have such tepid garbage on the television. Unbelievable. Every station, airplane crash, airplane, NTSB, and we've got nothing to report, but we'll be back in a minute to tell you exactly nothing. You know, with the NTSB, it'll take 8 years to reassemble the plane. It'll cost you $29 million for them to put the pieces together. Then they'll tell you they know nothing of why it skidded off the runway. Well, it's a miracle that the people survived. That's enough, isn't it? Isn't it a miracle that no one died in that plane crash? You want to talk about the plane crash? Shouldn't somebody be given credit, like the pilots and like the flight attendants who got them off the plane safely? Shouldn't that be the story, how good the pilots were that no one died? Shouldn't it be wonderful that the flight attendants were so great that they got everybody off and nobody died instead of they're investigating the doofuses in the government who can't protect our money on Wall Street? Who can't protect us from illegal aliens, who can't protect us from rubber boats in the Gulf of Aden. We're going to believe the NTSB knows what they're doing? I don't. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. These and other stories can be seen on my website every day, 24/7. Many other stories. I think another major league story is this one. Bailed out banks awarded executives $1.6 billion. Did you hear this? And they won't tell you where the money went. That means that it's a scam. That means that Hank Paulson should be in jail. That means Hank Paulson should get the hot lead treatment until he exposes where the money went. What do you mean you don't have to tell us? Hank Paulson worked for Goldman Sachs. How dare you not understand that when he gave money to Goldman Sachs, he was rewarding his cronies? How dare you not understand that? How dare you not understand that Bush and Paulson have pulled off the biggest robbery in history? That Madoff is a piker compared to Paulson in terms of what he's just done to this country, in my opinion. And yet you don't see anything about that on the media, do you? NTSB, plane crash. It's winter here in Chicago. The winter weather is upon us. Here we are in the East Coast, and it's winter, and it's snowing. And that's a news story? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. So they complain year in and year out. Well, there's no snow this Christmas. I guess that means it's global warming. There's no snow this Christmas on the ski slopes. It's very bad for business. And here we are at Lake Tahoe and Mount Snow, and there's no snow on Mount Snow. It means there's global warming. Now that there's snow, they turn that into another nightmare. Well, it's horrible. It's snowing. Why don't you talk about the fact that there's $2 trillion missing and that the government just trebled the national debt and reduced the value of the dollar by probably 40% in the last 3 months. Isn't that a story to talk about? And who pulled off this scam? Well, let's go back to the last chairman of the Federal Reserve. Let's go back to that fraud of frauds, Alan Greenspan, and his, and I tell you what I like to talk, give the word I like to use for her. You know, everybody has their pet monkey in the media who they hate the most, the person they detest the most, the person who makes them crazy. For me right now, the number one fraud is Andrea Mitchell. There's something that's too breezy about her. I know she's pure Brooklyn inside and out. Now, mind you, I have nothing against Brooklyn. I was born in the Bronx. But there's something so Brooklyn with the fake veneer of Washington, D.C. sophistication put on top of that Brooklynese that gets me insane, particularly since she was married and is married to that wonderful genius, Alan Greenspan, who gave us what we have today. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Thanks for joining me today. I realize you're doing it out of desperation because nobody else is on the air. You may not know it, but this is like the third largest radio show in America. And considering it starts so late in the day, it's pretty big. And for those of you in the media who've never listened to me or say you never listened to me, welcome. I know you'd love to call. Oh, I know you'd love to call. All of you guys who are off the air listening secretly in the car in Vail, Colorado. Telluride, the wife is on the slopes. The kids are on the slopes, and you're listening in the car to talk radio because you're a news junkie and you can't wait to get back. You're going to sit through a dinner tonight with crayons? Crayola. How can anybody eat in a restaurant when there's children with crayons? I can't take it anymore. No matter how late it is, I go into restaurants. It doesn't even matter the expense level. Crayons. If I see a crayon, I leave. There is something that is, it just kills my appetite. How can you have a sophisticated wine dinner with someone sitting near you with a crayon? And, you know, the worst part is they make you listen to a lesson. It's usually older guys, like in their 50s, who married someone in their 30s, and they have a child finally, after many years of going to a fertility clinic. And it's their child. Finally, they had a child. 5 billion people on the earth, no one else ever had a child. They have one, and they have to inflict it on you. And they spoil it in front of you, lessons they give. So who was the first one to teach the world about global warming, Johnny? And like a parody has to, you know, answer. And they do this in restaurants. I try going 9, 9:30. There they are. There they are. The Ritalin crowd is there. So that's why I'm staying home more, ordering in, watching the news. Much better than restaurants, to be honest with you. The biggest stress on anyone in the media is a family vacation, particularly when the children are young. Don't fool me. Don't tell me you're enjoying yourself. I know you're not. But let's get back to the media for a minute. Everyone wants a talk show. Huckabee, Giuliani. It won't last 6 months, in my opinion. I told you that comedian wouldn't last. I told you the bartender wouldn't last. I know who's going to make it, and I know who won't. I'm like Santa Claus. You know, he knows when you've been laughing. He knows when you've been bad, blah, blah, blah. So be good for goodness sake. This is a very difficult business. You can't just get up here and say Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican good, Democrat bad, Democrat good, Republican bad. Who's going to listen to that rubbish anymore? This is an organic, living thing, radio. Talk radio is different. It's not like television. It's like nothing on earth. It's like nothing in the media. It's incomparable. Do you ever listen to people try to go off script who look so great and noble in a movie? Like Sean Penn, who's a raving lunatic. a raving lunatic. He goes to Venezuela. He comes back saying Chavez is not a dictator. He meets every definition of what a dictatorship is. And as he's leaving, he says to Chavez, I'm teaching my children to be revolutionaries. Fidel Castro, the murderer, the mass murderer. He says to Fidel Castro, the mass murderer, I'm teaching my two children from spoiled, rotten Marin County who've never worked a day in their life how to be revolutionaries. Is it any wonder this country screwed up? Ocala, Florida. Nick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Giuliani's not going to last 2 weeks. And, you know, Fred Thompson was so boring in the Republican debates. I can't see anybody listening to that shit.
How in the world could somebody book them for a radio show? How is it possible? Look, I'm not doing this because I'm threatened by them. I'm doing it because it's beyond comprehension that anybody would think these people could make it in radio.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we're going to see John McShane coming out with his own radio show.
Oh, my God. I'll bet you he thinks he could do a radio show. The John McCain radio show. Wouldn't that be something? The Democrats' favorite Republican. It's unbelievable to me. Did we miss a bullet with him? We're much better off with Obama than McCain, by the way. Because at least with Obama, we know we have a far-left radical. With McCain, we had a far-left radical anyway who pretended he was a conservative because of his war record. Thanks for the call. Sacramento, Laura, you're on the Savage Nation. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Hi, quick question. I'm a pretty new listener to the show, maybe about 6-8 months, and I've been racking my brain trying to figure out what psychological nudity means.
It's the title of my latest best-selling book, and it's available only on michaelsavage.com. What do you think psychological nudity means?
You know, I read the book cover to cover. I've given it to my friends. It's making the circular around at this point. You know, everybody's reading it. The only thing I can come up with is, you know, that your brain is it's nude. There's nothing there. It's hard to say. I've had a few debates with a few people.
In other words, it's stripped bare. It means you're stripping bare the man when he's exposing a bit of his past or a lot of his past. You know, Love by the Sewer Plant, Dead Man's Pants, Woodchuck Bill, blah, blah, blah. You're talking about psychological nudity. He's stripping himself bare, psychologically nude. You get it?
Okay.
That's all. It is what it is.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Go, dog, go. Well, that's my dog, Teddy, the official mascot of the Savage Nation, barking for you jingle bells. We had him do that the other day, and he is not a member of SAG or AFTRA, but we'll see if we can get him into the union. Anyway, Teddy's on the cover of Psychological Nudity. Probably the most, one of the top famous, most famous dogs in America right now, when you think about it. Poor little guy. Anyway, we're talking about this and that in the Savage Nation. Small audience. Very small audience this week. Probably bigger than ever. You're supposed to believe no one. How could you go on vacation if you have an active mind? I don't get that part of it. I went over to Cancun 2 weeks ago against my will. Family insisted, Dad, you got to come. I said, I don't like the sun. I don't like the heat. I don't like beaches. I had too much of it in my life. I have skin cancer on and off. I had my dose of sun starting with the the Buster Brown shoe machine when I was five in the Bronx. I got my x-ray dose for life, looking at my little bones in my foot. What a lawsuit that would be. Is there a shyster lawyer listening? Any relative of Madoff, perhaps? Looking to make a few shekels? All the kids who put their foot in the Buster Brown x-ray shoe machine. It's a very good marketing device. You bought a pair of shoes and you put your foot into the machine. And like you looked at the bones, how they feel. Well, very smart marketing. Foot cancer. So I don't like it. So I go, don't take me. I don't want to go. I've had enough, blah, blah, blah. I'll make everyone miserable. I went and made everyone miserable, as I said. The only time I felt good on the vacation, actually were a few times. One was when the Blagojevich scandal broke. And the mini crazy Elvis Presley guy. That guy is whack. What a whack job this guy is. You talk about the craziest man in the history of American politics. Wow. Oh, no. Has no relationship to Obama. Oh, yeah. There was a bronze door between him and Obama. Obama never heard of him. Blagojevich? No, never heard of him. Even though I'm from the same ward of Chicago, which is exactly like the series Brotherhood from Providence on Showtime, I don't know who he is. I never heard of him. I met him once. We had a spaghetti dinner together once in the Plumbers Union. I have no idea. Blah, blah, blah. You schmucks, you people are so stupid to believe Obama has nothing to do with Blagojevich. How could you say that? How could you say that? Obama came out of the same machine, the same equivalent of Tammany Hall. How could you say there's no connection? How? Because the very same media that hid everything about Obama to get him elected, that created a fraud and a myth about the man, is now creating a fraud and a myth about this relationship. As I say, that was the only time I got excited on the vacation and couldn't wait to come home to talk about it. And I know that everybody in the media who's listening to this show cannot wait to get back to their Klieg lights and makeup and all of that stuff. So thanks for joining the Savage Nation. We could talk about any topic you want. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. We could talk about hobbies, antiques, cars, science, poetry, celestial objects, theology, the Bible, whatever you want, because I have the education and the background. So let's go for it. Let's go for it. Alabama, Jerome, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Jerome?
Hey, Michael. Psychological nudity. That is your way of exposing the psychology of some of these crazy folks that are running this country.
It's a way of exposing. Look, psychological nudity, it's true. When my show opens, it says warning. This show contains adult language, adult content, and psychological nudity. Yes, I strip bare myself in many ways, and then I try to strip bare the political machine, right? In other words, cut through the BS. That's what I attempt to do. But that's the title of my book, Psychological Nudity, my fourth in the sequel. I love the name Jerome. Jerome, do you know why? Do you have the book Psychological Nudity?
No, I don't. You're
going to get it right now. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a free copy. By the way, if you order today, I can guarantee you'll have it in time for Christmas 2009. That's right. If you order the book today, I can guarantee delivery within a year. You'll get it in a week or whatever. It won't be for the holiday. Get it for New Year. Guaranteed in time for New Year. You'll be alone anyway with nothing to do on New Year's Eve. Another holiday. No one knows what to do. Get drunk like an idiot, drinking bad champagne. What are you celebrating on New Year's? It's been a wonderful year. What a great year this has been. It's a wonderful life. Yeah. Terrific. What a year this has been. Wow. And Bush isn't through yet. He's got a few weeks to go yet. Got a few more surprises left for you. I love this. What I love is the left wing puts Obama in office. They think that immediately gays are going to get married in the White House. They're going to have like a British reverend giving the invocation with his boyfriend. The exact opposite happens. They're going crazy. And they thought war would end yesterday. Then they find out Obama meant what he said when he said he's going to actually ramp up the war in Afghanistan, sending 30,000 troops to Afghanistan. Remember the left used to say, well, I'm not against fighting terror, but we're fighting it in the wrong country. And I used to say, what? I mean, we shouldn't be in Iraq? Where should we be? I want the war in Afghanistan, okay? Well, guess what? Your wish is coming true. 30,000 men are going to go off to fight in Afghanistan. What are you going to say then? That's a just war? You people don't get it yet, do you? Government is about war. You can't figure it out yet, can you? You can't figure it out. You can't get it. Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. It's always about war. War is good for the economy. didn't work for Bush because he couldn't even manage the war correctly. But that's another story. That's the main conflict I have with Bush's going into Iraq. It's not that Saddam wasn't a mass murderer and a certifiably insane man. However, you got to remember that Saddam served a very useful purpose after his father, Bush's father, took down the Republican Guard, and only a certain proportion of the Iraqi military, and very wisely at that, because the first Bush had much better advisors than the second Bush. And they understood that the dynamic was between Iraq and Iran. And to counter the loonies in Iran, you needed an Iraq that had the capacity to challenge Iran. Instead, Child Bush didn't get it. So he destroyed the entire Iraqi military and then got stuck in the quagmire of Iraq for reasons that have been described by analysts now for many years, partly to do with incompetence, partly to do with a bad policy, partly to do with wanting the war to be stretched out as long as possible for contracts, partly to do with Halliburton and Cheney. All of those elements are part of the reason that we're still in Iraq and why it wasn't settled once and for all, which it could have been done 5 years ago. Remember when he said victory? What did he say on the aircraft carrier? Job well done, whatever. What was his great statement that they ridiculed? He actually didn't say it. Play that. Play Mission Accomplished, where he doesn't really say it. Just play that for a minute. Play Mission Accomplished, that particular soundbite of George Bush.
Officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans, major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Yeah. Now what you'll really play is Neville Chamberlain. It's almost the same. Anyway, that's May 1, 2003, George Bush announcing the end of major combat operations in Iraq. So you ask yourself, why are we still there? Why are we still there? Why are we still there? Do you have any idea why we're still there? Let's start with contracting. Let's start with the fact that when your father was in the Army, the military had their own cooks. In other words, there were cooks, there were tailors, there was laundry. And they were all done by various and sundry enlistees or soldiers, right? Not now. Now they hire an outside contractor related to Halliburton, and they provide meals for the troops in Iraq, which I understand cost $16 a tray. Listen to me. I said $16 per tray, which means if a soldier goes back for a second helping, the taxpayer got billed another $16 for another tray of marginally edible prison food. Do you have any idea why we're still in Iraq? Just add up the amount of meals that are served, the tents, the air conditioning, you name it. Okay, now you understand why we're going to be at war in Afghanistan forever. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. The Obamas are vacationing at a $30 million house, which is good, very important. If you're a left-winger, you got to live like the rich in order to know how to defeat them. I mean, that's the main thing. You have to live in a $30 million house from time to time in order to know how to overcome your enemy. I mean, that's the way it is. That's the beautiful part about power, is that look at the Clintons. They were once diehard leftists, and then he started making 50, 100, God knows how many million dollars a year. Then they became centrists. This is good. Wealth is good. Lord Acton said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, so does wealth. That's the one good thing about capitalism. It corrupts every leftist I ever met. Every leftist I ever met gets corrupted by power and money, and eventually all they want is the money. They can do without the power. Except for the diehards. The bad ones are the ones who really don't want the money. There are fanatics in California who are in it for the ideology of it. I can name a few, but I'll avoid that for the moment. And they're the dangerous ones. The uncorruptible ones are always the most dangerous. Trust me on that. Corruption is not as bad as you may think. I can give you many examples of politicians who are mildly corrupted who are actually, in the long run, good politicians. The ones who can't be corrupted are the dangerous ones. They're the they're the Castros of the world. Although Castro allegedly has billions and billions of dollars salted away. Don't make any mistake about it. Here in California, the police chief of San Francisco, which is that's an oxymoron. When you say San Francisco police chief, it's laughable. Heather Fong is stepping down. You know, since we have no newspaper in the Bay Area, you know, we have no newspaper in the Bay Area here. We have no newspaper. A newspaper's job is to uncover scandal. A newspaper job is to keep the politicians somewhat straight. But since the newspapers here are so bad, they have the nerve to say she's stepping down, she did a wonderful job, she was this, she was that. They have a homicide rate that's out of control. Of course, the mayor, Annie Tuson Newsom, now wants to be governor, as does Moonbeam Brown. What a choice we have there. What a Hobson's choice that is. I mean, a choice between a radical leftist and a far radical leftist. You decide which one is which, because I can't. Last week, I was in a restaurant in North Beach, and the Attorney General, Jerry Brown, came over to me and said hello. I was quite surprised and honored. I thought, well, all right, there's hope anyway. So he said, well, I'm running for governor. I hope I'll get your support. He said, just remember, I'm practical. 2 days later, I read that Jerry Brown, the Attorney General for the state of California, who wants to be governor, who is the Attorney General now, and who's job is to be the top cop in the state, in essence, whose job is to uphold the law, has just come out over the weekend and said, I'm not going to uphold the law. I'm going to tell the 7 million people who voted against homosexual marriage that their vote doesn't count. Well, he doesn't have my vote. He's never going to get my vote. See, I believe in the rule of law, Jerry. And you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool Michael Savage any of the time. You understand that? Nebraska John, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, my topic is that I'm tired of this corruption. It just sickens me. We need more rules set down to stop this
crime. What rule? Who's going to set the rules then? If the government's corrupt, who's going to set down the rules?
People. We need a stand. We need to take
a stand. We need the people. You know what the people are? We're as worth. You know we are to the politicians? Worker ants.
Money.
Worker ants or worker bees that they take the honey from.
I work 50 hours a week.
So they laugh at you. So a guy like Madoff would laugh at you. You work 50 hours a week. He'd call you every name under the sun. He'd call you a dumb moron. He robbed $50 billion and he's still living in a $9 million apartment. What does that tell you about our government?
You know what I did this weekend? I studied that Madoff guy. I did two hours. I watched a two-hour video of that round table discussion. I mean, it kind of sickens me, but it seems like three of the guys in that round table discussion.
Wait, what round table? What round table discussion?
About a year ago, October. You see it on YouTube.
Oh, I played some of those sound bites. Hey, stay on the line. John, I'm making you have a happy Christmas. We're sending you a copy of my book, Psychological Nudity. I want you to play Madoff Savage right now. We got time for it, don't we? Just start it. All you got to do is start it. And even if we run out of time, you end it.
With a special report from Michael Savage. Here we are at a new rock concert. The name of this magnificent concert, Madoff Savaged. And they begin.
We're all living in America. America.
We know that the thieves on Wall Street are getting away with virtual murder. They're murdering people across America. And of course, while we know there are people who rob banks and there are people who break into homes and there are gangs roaming the streets with tattoos and they don't wear nice suits and they didn't go to Yale, they have done damage to America. It's true, the gangs, but no damage compared to what the thieves of Wall Street have done and are doing.
Wall Street is one big turf war. So by benefiting one person, you're disadvantaging another person. And the basic concept of Wall Street is it's a for-profit enterprise. There's no zero-sum game in Wall Street.
Madoff the crook, the alleged crook, Bernie Madoff. Nice old Bernie. Old Bernie the Wall Street trader. Old Bernie, good old Bernie. Madoff was a huge contributor to the Democrat power structure. That's right.
No one's going to run a benefit for Wall Street. Whenever I go down to Washington and meet with the SEC and complain to them that the industry is either overregulated or the burdens are too great, they all start to roll their eyes, just like all of our children do whenever we talk about the good old days.
You think Bernie Madoff is ever going to go behind bars for a second? And you think he's the only scam artist in America who belongs behind bars on Devil's Island? Forget about it. The whole thing's rotten. It makes me sick.
In today's regulatory environment, it's virtually impossible to violate rules and this is something that the public really doesn't understand, as honest as you can find, you try and get people to be, there's this normal, natural pull, you know, that you have to deal with.
The way he worked it was, you'd say, "Oh, Mr. Madoff, may I kiss your ring? Can I put my life fortune in with you?" And he'd say, "No, don't put in, how much, yeah, you ought to put in 2 million. You know, that's
smart." Savage.
No one's going to run a benefit for Wall Street. Whenever I go down to Washington and meet with the SEC and complain to them that the industry is either overregulated or the burdens are too great, they all start to roll their eyes, just like all of our children do whenever we talk about the good old days.
You think Bernie Madoff is ever going to go behind bars for a second? And you think he's the only scam artist in America who belongs behind bars on Devil's Island? Forget about it. The whole thing's rotten. It makes me sick.
In today's regulatory environment, it's virtually impossible to violate rules. And this is something that the public really doesn't understand. As honest as you can find, you try and get people to be, there's this normal, natural pull, you know, that you have to deal with.
The way he worked it was, you'd say, "Oh, Mr. Madoff, may I kiss your ring? Can I put my life fortune in with you?" And he'd say, "Don't put in, how much, yeah, you ought to put in 2 million. You know, that's small. Put in 100,000 today, and we'll see if you do well, you come back with more." So he suckered them. They put in 100 grand, they made 150,000, they made 15,000 year one. They ran to him with their grandchild's inheritance. Now here's 10 million. "All right, I'll take it from you. Don't worry. It'll go to good. I give away plenty of money. I'm such a good man. I'm good. We're all good here. We're all good people. We're not bad. We're not like the evil outside. We're good. We're all good people." Bernie, you rotten piece of garbage, you. Bernie, you're a shame to your people. Bernie, I hope to God this gets to you. You have shamed your people going back to Abraham. You have brought such shame upon your people that there's almost no way to overcome what you've done to your people, Bernie. Never mind the billions you allegedly robbed. The shame you have brought upon your people is a shame that can never be overcome. You have reinstituted a hatred, an ethnic hatred, that had long been dormant in America, Bernie. Think about that. Think about that unto your fifth generation, Bernie. San Francisco, Bill, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor.
Thank you.
I'm a San Francisco police officer with 20-plus years in the business. And
am I sorry to hear from you. You know what I mean. I mean, I can't believe what you've seen go on in this city in the police department. You know, it's like when I moved here in 74, it was a great department. I know that the morale right now is the lowest it's ever been under Mayor Tusum Newsom and his stooge police chief. I know the cops could get those murderers. And I cannot believe you've had to suffer through Heather Fung for these couple of years.
Well, you know, Dr. Savage, it's a relief to see her go, but it's on the other end. We have to see who's coming. I can guarantee you it's just going to be another stooge. If it's going to be somebody from within the department, it's just going to be a change of face, but the same old game.
Well, the real problem in this police department is the district attorney, so-called Kamala Harris, Willie Brown's ex-friend, who is against the death penalty even for cop killers. She's the real problem. Is that true?
She's definitely part of the problem, but the problem is basically the city itself. They want us to do, but they don't want us to do. We figure whatever we do, we're damned if we do and damned if we don't.
I don't know how. It's the toughest job in the world. Being a cop anywhere, you look at the show Cops. When I see the refuse of society that you guys have to deal with, the trash, the human trash of civilization that you guys have to deal with, and delicately, you have to deal with the human trash delicately. If you touch the human trash a little too harshly, you wind up in trouble. I don't know how anyone could do this job and keep their mind. But let me ask you something on the side here. You're not divulging your name or who you are. What do the police say about the elevator homicide, the guy who fell down the shaft? Do they really know what's going on there? Was that a murder?
Well, to be honest with you, Mike, we have a lot of faith in Inspector Krimsky. He's a very nose-to-the-grindstone type of cop. He's definitely old school, and he would never be part of any type of cover-up whatsoever. That's just not
Wait a minute. He was on my show. Remember, he came on the show because I was bashing him, and then he was removed from the case the very next day. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, he's not on the case anymore. They put somebody in who's going to wash it away.
Well, he has no control over that. We're just unfortunate.
No, I understand that. But why are they covering up this, what appears to be a homicide, of a radical Jewish activist who was thrown down an elevator shaft by all appearance? Who would not believe anybody with a brain? The guy goes to an Arab class. The class is canceled that night. He didn't get the notice. He's found at the bottom of an elevator shaft 4 days later, and they say it's not a homicide. He fell. Who in the world would believe that story?
Well, unfortunately, we have to believe that story. If it is indeed a cover-up, it comes from high up, way high up. And,
well, I know several attorneys who are trying to get a copy of the autopsy report, and thus far the medical examiner won't release it. What does that tell you?
Well, they're just going to fall back on the fact that you jeopardized their...
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think, my friend, and good luck to everybody in the police department here. I'll tell you what I think. I think that this scandal, the elevator murder, the elevator homicide, is going to bring the U.S. attorney into this picture. I think that eventually the FBI is going to come in here and take this case over, because I do not think that this city of San Francisco, which has the worst homicide epidemic in over 16 years under any Tewsom Newsom, let's face it, any Tewsom Newsom presents himself as a centrist when he's anything but. He is a far-left radical ideologue of the lowest order. And the fact is, we have a homicide epidemic. Illegal aliens are out of control. People are being killed left and right. There's a murder that goes unaccounted for. There's no investigative there's no investigation to speak of. When an investigation is started, it's swept under the rug. Why is this all happening under any Tewsom Newsom? The question is, what police chief are they going to bring in? Who is that police chief going to answer to? That police chief's going to answer to any Tewsom Newsom, who, as I say, is a very dangerous radical, in my opinion. Boca Raton, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Jim, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Rob, hello?
Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the radio already. Stop with the hellos.
Sorry, Michael. Greetings from Boca Raton, and we hope that you come back here.
Did you miss the scythe of Bernie Madoff?
Many of my neighbors have been directly affected. One guy whose house I'm looking at, I'm in the driveway right now.
He is You're trying to buy it on the cheap. Yeah, tell me about it.
There are all kinds of people all over Boca that got hit for $30 million, $50 million. But that's not why I called. I called about...
Whoa. Wait, back up a minute. That kind of money? Is it so bad that they lost everything, or is that only part of their fortune?
I drove by a guy's house in Boca West last week who lost $28 million. A couple of other guys were hit for even more. And a couple of the guys I know from New Jersey, one guy lost $17 million. And I know his partner probably lost about $30 million.
And, Jim, let me ask you, are any of the beachfront homes going on the market at lower prices? Because thus far, I haven't seen them come down in price. How do they, if they lose these kind of numbers, how do they hold on to a property on the beach? How come they don't lose that kind of property or lower the price to something realistic?
Because they have even more money than they lost. That's why.
Now, you see, here's why America has no sympathy for them. If a guy could lose $30 million and still have money, what does that tell you about him?
That's right. That's not why I'm calling. Last time you were in Boca, you went to that Chinese restaurant, probably the one on Glades Road. And when you got back to the radio, you talked about it. And I had just come from that Chinese restaurant with you telling how bad the food was.
Wait a minute. Is that the one run by the boys from New Jersey who it was Italian 2 weeks before?
No, this is the one that was, I think, the one with the red light.
I walked into a Chinese restaurant that was run by guys right out of The Sopranos. Apparently, it had been an Italian restaurant a few weeks before, a few months. I go in, I sit down. I was wondering why nobody was in there. I went in with some relatives, right? And they were feasting. I mean, they had their kids. The kids were like 9 or 10, but they were the size of grown men. You know the type that I'm talking about? Like the kid's 5'9" and weighs 230 pounds and he's 9 years old. They were knocking down one meal after another. I figured it can't be that bad if they're feeding their kids. I never ate such bad food in my entire life. It was inedible. inedible. I put $100 down because I said I can't eat this. It's too greasy. The guy looked at me like he wanted to murder me. So I said, that's it. I was with relatives. I put down $100 and we left. He took the money too, by the way.
Blame them. I think I ate the same food, and then I heard you on the radio 10 minutes later. I don't know whether I wanted to laugh or throw up, but in any event,
no, it's the worst Chinese food in America is in Boca Raton. Why is that? It's because the people who can't even vote straight, the people who get ripped off by Bernie Madoff, don't even know food.
Well, they don't, but we would love to see you back here in Boca. It's a very cold 65 degrees right now.
Jim, let me ask you something. I've been thinking about it. If I went down to Boca Raton, let's say, and I gave a 6 weeks advance, and I took a room and had it promoted in, let's say, one of the bigger hotels, how many people do you think we could get to show up for that event? Let's say the tickets were $100 a piece to off-write the expenses and keep the riffraff out. How many people would show up?
You would probably get at least 200 or 300 people from my country club to come and pay $100 to have a cup of coffee with you.
So could we get Bernie Madoff or one of his relatives to appear? We could put him in a guitar and feather him on stage.
We could probably fill half a room with people that got suckered by Bernie Madoff because they're all living here.
What country club do you belong to? This is an interesting question for me. Here I am, an arch conservative. You're calling me from a liberal area. You say you're a member of a country club, and that you tell me that a lot of them would come to hear me give a speech. There's a conservative country club in Boca Raton?
Absolutely. Woodfield Country Club. There's plenty of people that you would find very friendly. It's a mixed community. It's sort of like Livingston, New Jersey. It's a lot of Jews, a lot of Italians, a lot of Catholics, a lot of Protestants. We even have some black people, believe it or not. It's an absolutely good mix, a lot of very nice people, but there's a gate that keeps the riffraff out. So it's a fabulous place to
live. Woodfield Country Club, isn't that interesting? So you guys weren't hit by Bernie Madoff then?
Personally, no.
No, I mean, did he work that country club as well or not?
He didn't work it so much, aside from the people. I think I'm actually sitting in front of the guy who used to work for Bernie. I'm sitting in front of his house. Maybe what I should do is knock on his door and say, hey, you
want to... Well, what I'm waiting for is one of the beachfront mansions to drop by 50% that I may move down there.
You might be able to have that sooner than you think, because there are a lot of people. Anybody who bought a house within the last 5 or 6 years is suspect to losing the house. We have about 1,200 houses in this community, and they range anywhere from, say, 400,000 up to about 6 or 8 million. And there's across the board more available today, but there is a great number of them that have gone into foreclosure.
But my friend, listen to me. Here's the thing, though. This is what I'm getting at, and this is an important question for the rest of America. I'm talking about the top-of-the-line houses. I'm talking the $15 to $25 million beachfront houses. They haven't come down in price, and that's my question. Many of them must have been suckered by Madoff. How come those houses haven't collapsed in price?
Look in the Palm Beach papers. Palm Beach, you'll see quite a few houses. There are a lot of guys, but this is what the reality is. If somebody has...
Well, let me go back to the Woodfield Country Club. Many of the country clubs have a policy where if you bring somebody in for membership, it takes only one member to say, I don't like him, and that person gets blackballed. Is that how your country club works?
They let me in. If they let me in, they'll let anybody in.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Groucho Marx said, I would never join any club that would have me as a member. I don't know if that's true in your case, but I definitely would look it up. You're a good sport. Stay in the line. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity, but don't go away now. Don't hang up on him. I got his name wrong. I want you to email, get my friends, get the email address. I want to correspond with this fellow about the ins and outs of the other Boca Raton, the mixed Boca Raton. I want to find out about the mixed Boca Raton. To me, that sounded like heaven. Jews, Italians, blacks, Episcopalians. It sounds like America. That sounds like a good mix for America, as far as I'm concerned. Already, I left someone out. Now call up the FCC already. You know what I mean? I don't really care what your race is, my friend, as long as you know how to tell a story and laugh at a joke. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. I saw the worst movie in my life on television over the weekend. I had a head cold, so I stayed in. It was raining. The dog and I watched Bucket List with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. The worst. Boy, these guys, you know, it's like De Niro and Pacino, Nicholson. They are doing first-class garbage for the money. I don't know how they produce these things. I mean, Rob Reiner, you understand, is a lunatic. A left-wing whack job who's well past his prime. They're much younger comedy directors or writers or producers. They're much better. I can name three of them who do funny movies, mainly for younger people. But Rob Reiner is just over-the-hill, fat old man. This movie was terrible. There's nothing about it that was funny. Why did they make this movie? Anyway, I'll be back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. Many callers, many topics. 1-800-449-8255. Just posted a story. ACLU challenges Border Patrol searches. You know, you talk about the enemy within. How in the world could you not understand that the ACLU is the enemy within? How could you not understand it? How could you not understand that if we don't stop these psychopaths, we're going to lose the country entirely? How could you not understand this? Read the story on michaelsavage.com. You do know that it was the Border Patrol and its ability to search up within 200 miles of a border that stopped radical Islamists from conducting a terrorist event here in the United States of America. You do remember that, don't you? Yet the ACLU wants to stop them. Now, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Legislative director for Washington's ACLU chapter is Shankar Narayan. Now, why would Shankar Narayan sue the government to challenge roadblocks conducted by the Border Patrol? What do you think Shankar Narayan's real agenda might be? Huh? Why would these checkpoints bother super liberals and terrorist front groups? You do know that in 1999, Ahmed Ressam, an Algerian national, was convicted on multiple counts for plotting to bomb LA International Airport. You know who caught him? Customs agents found him with explosives in the trunk of his car when he drove off a ferry. It was because of customs agents. Canada has very lax policies. Dangerous people come into America through Canada. Why do you think we have checkpoints? And yet we have far-left Democrats like Leahy, U.S. Rep. Norman Dix, criticizing agents for being too gruff. Too gruff? Are you people crazy? Too gruff to stop a terrorist? What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do, get on their hands and knees and offer them a prayer rug? What's wrong with you people? I think many of these people are fronts for the drug cartels. That's my opinion. I believe the ACLU is, I've always felt it's a front for the drug cartels. I've felt this for years. And pity us all, because with Obama as president, the ACLU is going to get stronger, not weaker. And if you think things are bad right now, you're right. But they're going to get much worse, much, much worse before they get better. San Diego, Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. First of all, let me just say real quick, indulge me. I find you to be a moral compass. Great Americans like you make this country great. My point.
Well, let's start. I'm not going to be a wise guy. I'm not a great American. I'm just an American who believes in borders, language, and culture. That's all. It's as simple as that. Great is another story. George Washington was great. So, anyway, let's move on.
Okay, good. I want to know what your prediction is for the next 10, 20 years if Obama and his regime get in there and the ACLU, which you just spoke about. What do we have to look for? What will our country look like, in your opinion?
You have to give me the area, the topic rather, the segment of society that you're concerned about. I think by your question is pregnant with the answer. You fear a total dissolution. But let me ask you something. How much worse could it get than what George Bush, Paulson, and Cheney did to this country? They dragged us into a foreign war that they refused to win. They wrecked and robbed the economy. How much worse can it get is the question.
to me, I think there's going to be religious persecution based upon beliefs that don't fit in.
There could be. There absolutely could be. They could force homosexuality, force you to accept homosexuality and put you in jail if you don't. It's happening in Canada. If you speak out against certain acts such as homosexual behavior, you are considered a pastor non grata.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Normally during a show, I have TVs on and I'm watching the cable channels to see what the moron, like, Brett Hume. There's Brett Hume. Hi, I'm Brett Hume. What is that? I'm a Brett Hume. How are you? I'm a Brett Hume. How are you, Brett? That guy looks like he sleeps in a tie and suit. Like, droopy eyes. Hi, I'm Brett Hume. How are you? Hi, Brett. What do you do? I'm a Brett Hume. Yes, I'm Brett Hume. How are you? Are you Brett Hume? Yes, I'm Brett Hume. I'm a Brett Hume. I used to work for the president. I'm Brett Hume. I'm Brett Hume. I'm Brett Hume. The president respects me. Brett Hume. So I don't even watch it anymore. What I have on now is like the Weather Channel. A, the babes I like because like they wear bad outfits, which is funny to see. Like the Weather Channel girls are really funny. They're like ordinary good-looking women. And some of them are like cute faces. They look like cute, you know, like a girl next door. They're not particularly beautiful because nobody would take that job if they're looking to become an actress. This is like the last, this is where, as far as they're going to go. The guys wear like suits from leftover suits from Tonga. I mean, these were suits that were remanded from like Macy's 3 years ago. They were sent to Tonga and Fiji and Tahiti. They didn't even sell there, and then they get sent back in remnant merchandise to like green rooms with the Weather Channels around the world, like in Syria. And that's the kind of suits these guys wear. You know, like they're behind with the flap in the back. You could see it's like one size too small. They don't know to wear a little oversized on TV. Otherwise, they make even a good-looking guy look like he's out of shape. But the girls are saying they wear like bad pantsuits from 1970. It's almost like disco era outfits that they wear. And the jewelry is from QVC. Like, again, recycled. They went from QVC. It went from like Macy's to QVC and a remnant. Then they couldn't even sell it on QVC. They sold it to Tonga, Fiji, Samoa, the Marquesas. And the natives looked at it and rejected it. They didn't even want the trinkets. So some guy came down there from Brooklyn. He was like praying, all right, I'll buy it all. Give me the whole lot for $12, $12.50 in a seashell. He buys it back from them in the islands, and now he sells it to the Weather Channel for the girls to wear. I don't feel crazy anymore because I'm watching the Weather Channel. And I'm not watching Brett Hume. I'm Brett Hume or Wolf Blitzer. I hate those guys. I can't stand looking at them. Those puppets were driving me crazy. And all they were video puppets. So now I'm watching the weather. And there's like heavy wind advisory for tomorrow when I'm flying. So I have that to keep me up tonight. Heavy wind to it's going to be wind blowing through Santa Barbara and through L.A. and over the Van Nuys where the airport is. So I'm thinking of like delaying the flight now till 2 o'clock. So I was to leave at 1. Now I got to call up and tell the pilot to leave till 2. But what if it's like winds coming over in the canyon. I'm going to fly above it. But even if you fly above it, it buffets above. And they said it was going to be a little rough going over the Grapevine, and it's more than a little rough. But I want to get home to the dog, because otherwise I'm afraid he'll make on the floor.
Savage.
Teddy is, I got to mate him. I've got to breed him, rather. I've got to get him a girl. He's still young, but I want his puppy. I want to have the puppies. I want to give a few away and keep two. I've decided that I'll put up with the mess in the house. I want to see his offspring. What a proud papa he would be. What a show dog. I don't want his DNA to disappear. That's the point. You know, once in a while I run into people who are single people, men I know, who are like older guys, over 50, and they're not married. And I say, why wouldn't you be married and have children with such great brains and DNA? Why do you want it to disappear from the gene pool? One friend of mine got married because of it. The other one has gone as far as Athens looking for a wife on a cruise. But they're looking to pass their gene pool on. Look at the people having babies. Have you seen recently? Have you taken a look recently what's going on in this country? Who's having them? Go to a mall. You'll take a look at who's going to run America in the future. There they are with the pants hanging under their butts. And I've said the same thing to gay men, by the way, that I've met who are reasonable. I said, don't you understand what this gay lifestyle has done to you? I mean, I've had rational discussions, no anger, no hatred, where I said, don't you understand that guys like you who are creative, intelligent, and kind are natural fathers? You should be having babies with a woman. That's what you should be doing so that your genetics are passed on in the society. I don't know if it's reached anybody, but I think that if I were in charge of any kind of information in this country, that's the message I would send out to gay communities, which is you're all great, wonderful people. Why don't you get married to a woman and have a child? And if you're a woman, a lesbian, why don't you get married to a man and have a child instead of using something bizarre such as a turkey baster? What do you think? You're the first people in the world to have had impulses in that direction? You control them. Or else we'll wind up like Satyricon. Watch Fellini's Satyricon. That's what ancient Rome was all about, where everyone gave in to their impulses. They lived only for their impulses. They became a porcine, degenerate, as a result of giving in to their every impulse. Died young as porcine degenerates. That's the country we are fast descending into. Ben, New York City, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to comment on your Satyricon remark.
Yes.
Okay. I just think that you can draw a better parallel. I think that, you know, in other words, that was not all of the Roman Empire or even the Roman Republic. That was really somewhat like taking a camera crew to Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion and saying that was America and the American Republic.
Okay.
It's a little narrow. I would rather say that the lifestyle portrayed in the Satyricon and that sort of a view that we do have of those times and places is really much much like the elites that we suffer under in America today. This is the Satyricon showed the degeneracy of the elites.
Yeah, but hold on. But since the elite determined the course of Rome, it's very much apt that we saw a snapshot of their degenerate porcine physiques. Because that really was the reason Rome, the main reason Rome collapsed was foreign wars that were unsustainable, for example. I know that's a raw nerve right now. And, of course, cultural degeneracy. There's certainly both elements played a role in the collapse of Rome. But, you know, I read something that's even more intriguing. Do you know how the elite received their water in ancient Rome, how they got their drinking water into their homes?
Aqueducts.
Through lead pipes. The pipes were all made of lead. And it has been posited by a scientist, and this was written 25 years ago, I forget who wrote it first, that lead was therefore leaching into the brains of ancient Romans. And as you well know, lead is toxic. And they lost their ability to reason, to be rational as a result of lead in the water pipes. And I thought that was a very, very intriguing story. You ever hear that one?
Indeed. Quite correct. But once again, I just...
Well, I want to make a jump now. I then took that story when I wrote Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's and showed how aluminum is ubiquitous in our society today, whether it be in antacids, whether it be in foods, whether it be in cookware, and how aluminum, which is highly neurotoxic, in fact, extremely neurotoxic, has leached into the brains of Americans and Westerners in general. And that may be an implicated factor in Alzheimer's disease and what you could do about it. Now, that theory has never been disproven, by the way. Mm-hmm. So please go on.
Well, I don't know how much you want me to go on, but I just feel that we should narrow in on these examples, these these metaphors, and really...
What is it? You're arguing that Fellini's Satyricon, which was a snapshot of the elite degeneracy, okay, the fat guys, they were having boys instead of women, that kind of thing, is not really responsible for the fall of Rome?
No, not that at all. I'm simply saying that it tends to give a sort of a narrow, distorted view of the world of that time. There were many sober citizens...
Yeah, but what good was it? We're sober. We're the sober citizens of the decline and fall of America. What good does it do when every day you wake up and the ACLU vermin are trying to debase and to destroy a God, country, motherhood, family? What good does it do when the radical left is undermining the greatest military the world has ever seen by court-martialing them, debasing them, inventing stories about them? What good does it do when you have a slob like Jack Murtha, a former Marine himself who'll turn on the Marine Corps in order to move his own career ahead? So the point is, it is the elites and the snapshot of them that's important. And by the way, I give you snapshots of the elites on this show every day in many ways. I agree with you. This is not the whole of America that I talk about. I give you snapshots of what the evil ones are doing.
Savage.
I don't go to, you go to plays anymore? Like, so stupid with television. Why would you go to a play with television? What's the, you know, that's culture because it's in a theater with bad seats? And you actually hear people coughing, that makes it theater? That makes it like higher art than television? If I'm home, no, let's talk about that for 1 minute since we're talking somewhat about what's art, what's not art, what's poetry, what's not poetry in an age of a collapsed civilization where everybody can call themselves an artist or a poet. What is the difference if you sit home and watch a movie at home and it's a very well done movie, let's say, or you go to theater, you're going to go to watch Don Giovanni tonight at the Metropolitan Opera? How many times can audiences watch Don Giovanni at an opera house? The same plot over and over again. Why are they going to see Don Giovanni? I'd rather watch Serpico than watch Don Giovanni. I could pause it. I can get up and go to the bathroom. I don't have to smell anyone's perfume. I don't have to sit here like a stiff, making believe I'm enjoying it over every word. Then they put in the super titles. That's in case you didn't know a word of Italian, which no one does anyway. Even the Italians couldn't understand Don Giovanni. Because it's from another age of Italy. Does anyone listen to the show go to opera and why? Justify opera for me. Tell me why you go to opera. Tell me. I'd like to hear it. I gave up on it 10 years ago. I stopped already. You'd go in the same stiff, boring audience, the same 6 or 10 plays, either in Italian or in German, over and over again, the same boring plots. How can you sit through that? I guess it's to meet a different class of society. People who you can rob in your industry or something like that. You sell them something outside in the lobby there. I'm not into high culture. I don't like any of it. I don't like the symphony at all. I can't stand it. I do not like symphony. Am I allowed to admit that to you? I cannot stand symphonic productions. I find them overwrought. I find them painful to sit through. It all collapsed for me when I found out what was going on in the world of music. You want to hear that now? Would you like to hear what a low-class guy I really am? How I know nothing about culture? Hey, I'll tell it to you. It happened here in San Francisco about 12 or 15 years ago. The San Francisco Symphony, which was once at least a B symphony, it's now less than an F symphony. When it was still a B symphony, decided that it didn't have enough people of color and enough women in it. It was only dead white males who could who were in there because they were the best in the area. So they decided that during tryouts, which were previously conducted behind a black curtain. In other words, let's say a violinist was trying out for the symphony. There were three judges who sat behind a black curtain. They didn't know who was playing. They listened to the violinist, to the sound of the music. So the fact of the matter is, they said, all right, that number one, number two, number three, number four, the number three violinist is the best. Pull back the curtain. They didn't care whoever got it, right? So, another white male. Sorry, he was the best. So they said, well, the white males are winning too many of these positions in the symphony, so we're going to take the curtain away. So now you can already see, all right, we got to make the symphony look like America. They made it look like America. You know what it sounds like? The seventh grade in PS48. Like a warm-up job. That was the end of music for me. Brian in Bakersfield, tell me what you like about real live opera.
Michael Savage, I have been listening to opera since I was 10 years old and earlier, and I was taught and have come to realize that opera, done well and performed by a master such as, written by a master such as Mozart or Wagner or Verdi, encapsulates the best of drama, art, and the human voice. If you look back into the history of music, you will find that the great musical instruments were designed to approximate some aspect or some...
All right, no, look, I'm not knocking music. I didn't say that. I'm saying the opera of that I go to, the opera performances that I have seen in San Francisco, even in New York, they left me cold. I got nothing out of it. Where do you go to get great opera?
Well, I was privileged to hear the three tenors down in Miami.
But that's kind of schmaltzy. It's like opera for the masses kind of thing. And again, everyone has their own taste. I went to an opera, I'll never forget. It was many years ago in Italy at the Baths of Caracalla on a hot summer night. I'll never forget it as long as I live, when they brought out the white horses with the wagon on the stage. Now, that was dramatic. When I saw opera in Italy, I'm talking 30 years ago, in the Baths of Caracalla in an outdoor amphitheater, that knocked me over, okay, Brian. Could have been my company as well. I have no idea. You know, I was a different person then. Now I'm a reformed personality. But today, I don't know. What opera house has anything? I don't know. Hey, different strokes for different folks. You know, I'll be liberal about it.
Savage.
Rescue workers preparing for more accidents involving hybrid cars. And they say that the hybrid car represents a potential new danger, which is a network of high-voltage circuitry that may require some precise cutting to save a trapped victim. Gee, and I thought that they were the panacea. I actually did. I would never buy one, but since Barbara Boxer herself said she drives one, and she must know, I mean, she's a real environmentalist. I think she was once seen in the backdrop of the environment. She would know about the environment better than anybody. She said they were great, but apparently they're dangerous because the battery powering the electric motor carries as much as 500 volts. That's like a little mini San Quentin in its own way. Maybe there's a conclusion to this that we can draw, which is take all of the people on death row and give them a one-shot deal, which is that we let you drive around in a hybrid car, and then you get into an accident. You have to hit a wall at 10 or 20 miles an hour, and then we try to extricate you. And if we can extricate you and you live, we free you from death row. Or on the other hand, if it's like old Sparky, it's too bad. That might be something in America. And we could sell it as a pay-per-view act, you know, $29.99 to see the people on death row trying to be extricated from hybrid cars. That might be a scream. You know, with money going to the Gorilla Fund or something like that. But don't laugh about the Gorilla Fund. I actually give to it. It's one of the few charities I give to. Gorillas and elephants. I have a soft spot for gorillas and elephants. Elephants and gorillas. Gorillas and elephants. Something in me is soft on elephants and soft on gorillas. Chimps, too, I like. I like chimpanzees. They're all endangered. They're cooking them as meat in Africa now. But of course, you don't hear about that because you don't want to put down anybody in Africa. They're all, you know, they understand. They're more sensitive because they're from the third world. So therefore, they must be good to the gorillas and to the others.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
There's a collective responsibility to the rise of radical Islamic terrorism, but you can't really blame these presidents either. You have to understand that when I say the enemy within, I'm really talking about democracy itself. I know that's a shocking thing to say, but the self-imposed restraints that have evolved in our highly evolved democracy are the very elements that have permitted al-Qaeda to attack us. They are very smart. They understand what democracy is, and they know how to skirt the laws and get around it and just, you know, live in that gray zone. And that's how they attacked us. It's because of democracy itself that the terrorists have attacked. That's how they got away with their violence, and that's how they continue to get away with their propaganda and their violence. And I am afraid that it's going to take more charred bodies right here in America, and I'm certainly not looking forward to it, before we evolve out of this suicidal imposition of restraints that permits our enemy to do this to us. If you look at the word enemy, which I did during the break, I mean, I love this book that I have, The Concise Etymological Dictionary of the English Language by Skeet. I've had this for I don't know how many years. It was one of my library books. I bought this when I was in graduate school. It's like one of those dictionaries that you have to have if you're in radio and you love words. I even love the smell of the ink, the pages. It's ambrosia for me. Well, look up enemy, the origin of the word enemy. Modern English, enemy, E-N-E-M-I, Old French, E-N-E-M-I, Latin, inimicus, unfriendly. You hear this? You, all it really means is unfriendly, the word enemy. Amicus, friendly, from Latin, amare, to love. So it's the opposite of love. That's all we're talking about. They hate us. But who do they love? When the Taliban were in charge of Afghanistan, you got to remember, they blew up Buddhist statues that were 1,400 years old. I guess they hate Buddhists, too. They hate Buddhists. They hate Hindus. They hate Jews. They hate Christians. There is only room for the Muslim in the eye of these people. The prediction is quite clear. You just got to follow the logical course and follow the bouncing ball. And you will see that eventually democracy must be reined in. And the self-imposed restraints of the civil libertarians will disappear in our time. They have to, in order for us to win this war. If they do not, we're dead. It's as simple as that. We're dead. And I do know the history of America is that we're not going to die. We're simply not going to lose this war. We're going to win this war. But we have a long way to go until the American people are willing to understand, A, the nature of the enemy, and B, what must be done to defeat it. And it's going to take some burnt corpses in their own backyard until they finally wake up. Now, even if that, God forbid, should happen, you're still going to have the Barbra Streisands and the other fanatical liberals who are going to say it's our fault that they did this to us. If only we had been kinder, gentler, and more sensitive. I heard the same argument in America for years now, 40 years of this garbage, that the reason the inner city is in turmoil, the reason the inner city criminal is so violent is because of racism or poverty, and if there were only enough jobs, it's all garbage. It's all garbage. It's rubbish. It's guilty liberalism. It's insanity. It means nothing. I also came from a poor family. No one I know was a murderer, and no one I knew was a thief, and no one I knew killed anybody or stabbed anybody or burnt anybody. They worked themselves until they got where they wanted to go. They didn't blame anybody. They didn't walk around with a chip on their shoulder. They worked their behinds off until they moved forward and let their son move beyond them. That's the way America is. That's the beauty of this country. But I don't want to get into the American domestic scene. I want to get into the whole psychosis that we're living in as a result of 40 years of brainwashing and 40 years of liberalism, which I have been trying to undo in my years on radio. I hear that my phrase, red diaper dopa baby, is being used more and more around the country. People love it. They define now the insanity of this extreme liberalism with the phrase, hey, Mike, red diaper dopa baby. They know what they're talking about. They're getting some of the handles that they need to take it on. People are becoming emboldened to speak out. And that's the way we're going to change the country, by awakening you first and giving you the ability to articulate what you know to be true. Many of you have felt these things for a long, long time. And as Mallarmé, the French poet, wrote, I don't want to get too intellectual. He wrote, I'm not a poet, but he said, what is the poet's job? It's to give more clarity to the words of the tribe. And that's really what the writer is supposed to do, was to give more clarity to the words of the tribe. But that's what you do in talk radio. You're trying to give more clarity to the words of the tribe. The tribe knows what's right and what's wrong. The tribe, they sense it, but they don't have the right words, the right phrases, the right articulation. And so as they become more knowledgeable about what they feel and more able to articulate it and express it to their family and to their friends, even to the stranger, the country starts to change and become more rational in its approaches to various things. And right now is a time for us to come together, because we are facing an implacable foe that doesn't care what you say. They don't really care whether you agree with Albright that it's the Crusades or because of what Jews did. They really don't care whether you're a liberal. You two are going down on a prayer rug. You also are going to have your throat slit if you don't do it to Al-Qaeda. And that's all there is to it. So when you finally come to understand the nature of your enemy, and they really don't give a rat's behind whether you're a liberal or a conservative, all they care is that you are an infidel. And once you come to understand that and you are nothing but a future charred corpse to them, maybe you'll come around to understand that we need General Patton right now, not General Schmoo running the military. That's what we need. General Patton, we need a take no prisoners kind of general, not this PC garbage.
Savage.
Harry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Okay, Michael, love listening to your show. I happen to disagree with most of what you say. Let me ask you a question, a hypothetical. Red China attacks our country and lands here and is fighting. Then do we as Americans become patriots or terrorists or insurgents? What are we if we're defending our country?
Well, you see, it's interesting to start thinking like that, but it shows how far you have gone as an American citizen that you can't even back your own country in a war. Of course, if they landed here, we would fight them and we would be patriots. But that is not ipso facto, therefore the Iraqis are patriots. That's number one. Because you are an American, Harry. You should be backing our troops and not asking yourself such a silly question. That would be like saying, when the Americans were bombing Germany in World War II to take out Hitler and the Nazis, weren't the SS officers patriots? Would you argue that, Harry?
Well, to a certain degree, yes and no. They were not patriots because that was a whole different scenario.
Wait. What do you mean? You're trying to argue that the Iraqi rebels are patriots because they're defending their homeland. So would you then argue that Hitler's soldiers, primarily not the Wehrmacht who were enlisted, I am talking about the SS, the Death's Head Brigade, the Adolf Hitler Brigade. Wouldn't they be considered super patriots by your definition, Harry?
No, they were not patriots. I do not consider them super patriots.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? Then you're double-talking me.
No, I'm trying to show you two...
How is it that you can say that Hitler's SS officers were not patriotic, but you can suddenly say that the Iraqi bums are patriots? Where's your thinking coming from?
I'm saying that the Iraqi people, the Sunnis and Shiites who are from Iraq, they are the people who are fighting for their country. I believe that there are terrorists...
Wait a minute, sir. But by the same logic that you're using, if you want to call it internationalist logic, wouldn't then the SS officers also have been patriots?
No, I don't believe that. I think it's a total...
Wait, hold it. Tell me why you don't believe that.
Okay, because the SS and the stormtroopers... That whole regime was literally out to take over the world. They were trying to occupy other countries. So therefore, since they were...
Wait. Hold on a minute. But radical Islam wants to export Islam to the whole world. Ask the preacher in Fallujah, in Najaf, that radical fat slob. He wants to see the whole world Islamicized. So by the same token, he wants to take over the world.
Islam is our enemy. I agree with that. I'm saying I don't disagree with everything you say, but I agree with that. I agree that Islam is our enemy. But the point...
Well, hold it. I don't say Islam is our enemy. I said radical Islam is our enemy. That's quite a different thing. So don't put words in my mouth. But, Harry, if you're trying to take that internationalist look at the thing from the other guy's point of view approach, why then you could never fight in an American war? Because you'd say the other guy is just defending his homeland too. Harry, it would be like saying you're a fighter, you're a boxer. Let's say you're a middleweight and you're getting in the ring with the other guy and both of you pray to God to win. Would you then say, well, the other guy is just defending his honor. He wants to win too. Would you take his side or would you take your side?
Well, of course I'm always take my side. But
well, why don't you take the side of the U.S. Marines then instead of telling me that the other guys are patriots?
Take the side of our troops. I support our troops 1,000,000%. I'm totally...
Well, how could you support our troops 1,000,000% if you're arguing that the Iraqis who are killing them are just patriots defending their homeland?
I'm giving you a hypothetical. I'm not saying that all Iraqis are patriots. There are a lot of them that are not, but a great majority of them are, and they're just trying to defend their country.
Nonsense. The patriots want their country to be democratized, and they don't want women in burqas, and they don't want Islam forced down people's throats, and they don't want to burn Jews, and they don't want to kill Christians. Those are the real patriots. These are vermin. These are internationalist terrorists. They're vermin. That's why we're killing them.
Not the Iraqi people. I'm sorry, Michael. I respect...
I didn't say the Iraqi people. I said the Iraqi people want democracy or relative democracy. But the bums we're fighting in Fallujah and Najaf are not the Iraqi people. They are A, fanatics who want to export their religion and dominate the world, and B, they are surrounded by foreigners who aren't even Iraqis, Harry.
Those are the ones who are our major enemy. I agree with you there. I do.
So what are we arguing about?
We're arguing about that. I think that we are categorizing and generalizing that a lot of these Iraqi citizens who are, and I really believe, I may be wrong, Michael, but I really believe that they are trying to defend their country from an occupying force. Yes, many of them want us there because without us there, it would be bloody civil.
Well, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. We liberated them from a monster, the Hitler or Stalin of their world, and now they're shooting us in the back. Let them go to hell. We liberated them. Now we expect something from them. With freedom comes responsibility. It's not a one-way ticket. Now they've got to perform for us. They've got to join the family of man. They can't go back to their psychotic ways.
Michael, like I said, I respectfully agree to disagree. I respect your opinion. I love your show.
And you know what?
You know why? You know why, Harry? Because a good part of you actually agrees with me, even though you're probably a lifetime Democrat. I don't intend to change you. I'm not here to front for George Bush. But you got to understand what I'm saying, Harry. The majority of Iraqis want the radicals out of their country. They don't want to live in Afghanistan under the Taliban. They want the freedoms that we have here. And in order for them to enjoy it, they're going to have to play ball with us. They're going to have to do it our way. We're not going to have to do it their way.
I agree. But again, I just hate generalizing, saying that all the Iraqis are insurgents and that they're terrorists. They're not. They're really not.
But what, we're saying the same thing. I just said most of them want these bums out of there. Most Iraqis do not want this fat cleric screaming holy war. Most Iraqis want the Pakistanis and the Iranians and the Saudi terrorists who have come in to help that Sadr out of there. So we're saying the same thing in different ways, Harry.
Well, okay, maybe we are. Maybe we're looking at it from two different points of view.
There it is. You see, that's the problem, is we're 3,000 miles away, Harry. If we were over a cup of coffee, we'd probably realize we agree more than we disagree. Savage. Young men listening to the Savage Nation, I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you are under 30 and your mind is awakening to politics, if you're coming out of the great deep sleep that you've been put into, if you're awakening to the fact that when you speak for America, that you are attacked in school, if you're awakening to the fact that if you speak for morality, you are attacked in school or in your neighborhood, that if you're a Boy Scout, you become a pariah, while the perverts have become the victim. You may be realizing how your mind has been drugged in order to make you surrender. But I feel that I'm in a special place right now. And I want you to understand something. Many of you are listening to this show on a regular basis. Many of you are responding as though you're suddenly listening to a bell ringing clearly in your mind. And I want you to understand that there's a revolution that has gone on in this country. And that revolution has been stopped in its tracks with the election of George W. Bush. That was a red revolution. It was very close to succeeding. And you've got to understand that the red revolutionist does not promote his cause through debate and discussion. The red communist revolutionist knows that the ideas he wants to plant in your mind are planted not by debate and by discussion, but by using certain propaganda techniques. For one thing, socialism nor communism is ever sold under these labels. Nobody can sell socialism or communism by saying, I'm a socialist or a communist. They have to be given new labels and new names. Maybe they're called civil rights. Maybe they're called something else. And secondly, the communist package must be sold in little pieces, never in one big package. Third, the sales job on you has to be done by people who are not suspect, never by communist fools in berets or orators standing on soapboxes, as in the old days that you may have read about. But it's sold by people who deny that they're communists. They deny they're socialists. Yet they sell you their product in our schools, in our newspapers, in our magazines, on our radios, in the theaters, on our televisions, and by every means of propaganda that has ever been invented. Never, never in one big package. Instead, they sell you one little idea yesterday, and they sold you another little idea on the road to the Red Revolution today. And suddenly someone around you buys a third idea the third day. Until one day you wake up that you're so far on the way to becoming a communist nation that turning back will be more difficult than going forward. And I am telling you, we were almost there. For 8 years, the pirates of the left took over this country. That's what the fight was about. We knew it. We smelled it. We felt it. We know he was a traitor. We know that everyone around them was involved in making money with this traitor. We know that none of them have been called on the carpet for what they have done. They're back in cushy jobs at Georgetown, Columbia, Yale, Harvard, Stanford, Berkeley, New York Times, all aboard. The big train of the left keeps running. They're not happy. They're very, very unhappy. They never expected this simple, innocent man from Texas to become the president. And they try to ridicule him. They try to make fun of him, but it backfired because the American people didn't care that he wasn't glib. In fact, the American people felt that they could relate to a man who wasn't a slick artist, who never made a mistake with his tongue. So they stopped attacking him on that level. Now they've shifted gears. Now they know that Mother Earth is the sacred apple pie of today. What apple pie was yesterday, the environment is today. So they're trying to say he is poisoning the water with arsenic. Where the arsenic suddenly came from, we don't know. But Joey Lieberman will tell you, George Bush poured it into our wells, our aquifers, and our dams overnight. He had armies of Republicans going around poisoning Mother Earth with arsenic.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Our break on through to the other side with Michael Savage. Let's hear a little bit more of The Doors. A thing of the 60s. If it brings back memories, I'm sorry. What a mess the 60s were. A nightmare. We almost lost the country. And the same filth that tried to break America over its knee. They now have gray hair. They run everything. And they want to do it all over again. They're self-destructive. Don't you understand that? It's not that they have a vendetta against America. They hate themselves. So they hate their country. They hate every projection of themselves. It doesn't matter that they're wealthy with bulletproof limousines, with wine, women, and song at their disposal. You know, like running water out of a gold tap. These are people who hate themselves. They hate their country. They hate their fatherland, their motherland, whatever you want to call it. They have no relationship to the land. They want to break through to the other side. They're suicidal, John. They want to pull you with them. Don't feed them. Don't give them the ammunition. All you're going to do is look. I don't care if 60 Minutes has ratings through the ceiling. It doesn't matter to me. Take a look at that wacko with the earring. Everything that comes out of his mouth is an attempt to attack America under the guise of compassion and fairness. Let him break through to the other side without me. Hell no, I won't go. Hell no, I won't go. You're not taking me with you.
Savage.